Good morning again, and let's prepare ourselves for the time of the Word. It's a great blessing to be in the house and in the presence of God this final, not only the final Sunday, but the final day of this calendar year. I'm still struggling to accept the fact that another year has come to an end. It seems like it was just a couple of months ago that we were welcoming in 2017. And now here we are on the last day of the year. Now, I'm sure this is only me, but the time seems to be going by faster and faster. I don't know, but each year, in fact, I was talking to one of my workmates how fast the weekends seem to go by. I mean, no sooner is it Friday evening than it's Monday morning and it's time to go back to work. Ron, it must be an aging thing, I think. But we're here and God is present and we're grateful for Him giving us this opportunity. Our text today is taken from the Gospel of Luke, the 13th chapter. And we'll be looking at the verses 1 through 9. The topic or the subject of the message for today is one more year. One more year. Father, we just thank you for this time. We pray your anointing upon your word, Lord. We pray our hearts and minds may be focused and set on you, and that we will be prepared for what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 13, 1 through 9. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Of those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Verse 6. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." One more year. Now, I just read from the NIV. But the New King James in verse 1, instead of using the word time, it uses the word season. Now, they were present at that season. And I like the word season as is used better than the word time. Although both talk about a certain period, I like the word season because season connotes or gives something that there's going to be a change. Because we know that the seasons, the weather changes. Right now is bright and sunny and cold, but very beautiful out there. But there will come another season where it's going to be warm and rainy and hot and muggy. And the human beings that we are, we like those seasons in our lives where things are falling into place, where things seem to be happening the way we think they should be, where there's always money in the account when I need to spend it, where my children are always doing things that I have raised them to do, where my boss is always respecting me, where the drivers on the road seem to be driving the way they were taught in driving school. But God knew exactly what he was doing when he created a diversity of seasons. Because you see, when things seem to be doing good, you want things to stay that way. Right? And conversely, when things are going bad, we want the season to hurry up and come to an end. The older I get, the wiser God looks. You see, I've always realized he was infinitely wiser than me. But seasons change. When things don't seem to be going right, what do we have to do? Endure it and hold on until the season changes. Because one thing we can take to the bank, that it will change. Today is December 31st, 2017. At 12 midnight and 1 second, it will be January 1st of 2018. Something is going to change. But even more than just waiting, we need to look up to God and to Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith, and trust him to bring about the true changes in our life that bring honor and glory to our God. Look up to him and hold on to his hands. But let's get back to our text this morning. There's five simple, well, there's many, but we're going to look at five simple but profound truths that I want us to glean from this short passage of Scripture. Number one, your situation is not always a reflection of your spiritual state. Your situation is not always a reflection of your spiritual state. Now, I know I said not always, because sometimes it is. Sometimes we just rebel and do stuff and reap the consequences of our actions. But Jesus is trying to put a message forward in this passage. There were some people who had suffered heinous things against them. They'd been killed. And so, as was the custom and is still the custom today, people always think that when something bad happens, it's because of something that someone has done wrong or sinned or rebelled. We look at the story in John chapter 9 where the man was born blind and Jesus' disciples ask him, who sinned? Did he sin? Or did his parents sin that this terrible thing had befallen him? And Jesus said, no, neither of those, but that God may be glorified. That's the ultimate purpose. God may be glorified. So we sit here today and we all know that there's people who were with us in our midst at the beginning of this year, who for some reason are no longer with us. But we know that God has a plan, a path, and a purpose for each and every one of us. So hopefully we have reached a point in our spiritual maturity that we realize that bad things can happen to good people. And conversely, good things can happen to bad people too. We don't like that part, do we? But that's the truth. The fact that things are not seeming to go right according to the way we think they should go does not necessarily mean we are living in sin and disobedience. Amen? It's not necessarily because of sin and disobedience that we have trials, that we have temptations, that we have challenges, that we have disappointments in our life. No. What did Jesus say when he was on his earth? He said, "You will be persecuted for my sake." So in fact, if we're walking after his path and in his word, we should almost expect troubles in this world. We should almost expect problems. Because he said, "The world hated me, so it will hate you." So why is it that sometimes we get into this mindset that as long as I give my life to Jesus, I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm reading the word, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing, that everything should just be smooth sailing? It's not true. On the other hand, the reverse is also true. The fact that everything seems to be just rosy and hunky-dory and smooth sailing does not necessarily mean we are living in perfect obedience and harmony with God's word. It's just the seasons. It's just the times. And Jesus had to revert to some rather graphic detail to hammer this point home. He said the fact that these people's blood was shed and used in the sacrifice, or the fact that the tower fell upon them, doesn't mean that their sins were any worse than those of us that are sitting here today. No. That's not what it means. It was just a season. Point number two. We all need to repent of our sins, or we too will all perish. We know in the scriptures that when Jesus wanted to hammer home a point, he repeated it. And in the passage that we just read, verse 3, "I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish." Verse 5, he repeats it, "I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish." Scripture tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the finished work of Jesus Christ. What I want to remind you of this morning is that repent means more than to confess. Repent means more than to confess. A lot of us are very good at confessing. Yes, the scripture does say that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But what God really desires from us is a repentant heart. And what's the difference between repent and confess? Repent means to turn the other way, to make a complete U-turn. and to stop getting into those situations, doing those things, thinking those thoughts that lead us to need to confess. God says he desires obedience more than sacrifice. Sacrifice is okay, but what he really wants is obedience. So that's what Jesus is saying. Unless you repent, God wants us to get to that place that we're so in line with his plans for us, we're so in line with his word, that our natural, our spiritual man, the spiritual part of us, is winning the constant battle against the fleshly part of us. Amen? And yes, we will still slip and fall, but we'll get up, dust off, lean on his mercy and forgiveness, and strive to do better in his way. Amen? So remember that repent means more than just to confess. Point number three, we are meant to be fruitful. We are meant to be fruitful. Now, I had read this passage of scripture many times. And then as I was studying for this message, it just hit me that here is a fig tree that's growing in the midst of a vineyard. And what that telling me this morning is that no matter who we are, we're called to be fruitful. Yes, you may think that you're somebody insignificant. You may think you're still young. You may think you don't know enough. You may think you've never been to Bible school. You may think whatever you want to think. But if God expects a fig tree growing in the middle of a vineyard to be fruitful, that tells me that no matter who you are, he's called us and saved us for a purpose and expects us to be fruitful. Amen? Who would think that you have a fig tree growing in the midst of a vineyard? I thought only grapes grew in a vineyard. But there's a message in this for us. No matter who we are, we may only be a fig tree in a vineyard, we still expect it to be fruitful. No matter where we are, sometimes we feel we're out of place. I'm sure the fig tree in the middle of the vineyard fell out of place. Probably felt overlooked because every year they came and pruned and prepared the grapes and ignored poor old fig tree. And that's how we feel sometimes as believers. We feel that we're nobody and the enemy of our souls continues to pound us. Look at you. They're paying attention to everybody else. Where's your 15 minutes of fame? Where's your time in the limelight? You're nothing but a nobody. And then we begin to tell ourselves that we're nobody. When God has said in his word that he made us kings and priests. And he's made us in his own image, after his own likeness, for his own purpose, to bring glory to his great name. So no matter where we find ourselves, we are expected to not only reflect the glory of our great Savior and God, but we also expected to be fruitful. No matter what's going on around us, no matter what our situation looks like, no matter what the circumstances look like, again, this fig tree is in the middle of a vineyard, I'm sure things were not looking too good. And sometimes in our own life, things just don't look that good around us. But I'll tell you a little secret. Let's stop looking at what's going on around us, and let's start looking at the source of our strength, at the source of our hope, at the source of our joy, at the source of our sustenance. Because you see what? We may only be a fig tree in the midst of a vineyard, and nobody else may be paying attention to us. But there's one person who's promised us that he will never leave us or forsake us. So if we keep our eyes on him, if we keep our hope in him, and keep holding on to his unchanging hands, and don't focus on all the stuff that's going on around us, we have a chance. We have a chance to bear fruit for his glory. No matter where we are, no matter what's going on around us, no matter who we are meant to be fruitful. Point number four. Being fruitful is not a one-time thing, but is meant to be continuous. It's not a one-time thing. I've read a book recently called Fake Food, Real Food. And he talked a lot about the olives and those olive trees, some of them still bearing fruit today that were around at the time Jesus walked the earth. That's a long time of fruit bearing. It's not a one-time thing. And what does the scripture tell us? So he said in verse 7, so he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. He came the first time, there was no fruit. He said, oh, well, maybe this is just a bad year. I'll go come back. He came the second year, no fruit. Third year, no fruit. Well, then there's something wrong. Stop taking up valuable space. He did say that. Why should it use up the soil? In John, Jesus said that if we bear no fruit, then we're prune and chopped off. We don't want that. However, being fruitful requires nurture and nourishment. See, part of what we get when we gather together on a Sunday morning, when we gather in our Bible studies at home, when we gather at our midweek services and teachings, we receive nourishment. We receive nurture. We receive care that helps us to grow and be fruitful. See, part of the reason that the fig tree wasn't fruitful, it'd been neglected. And sometimes we neglect ourselves. We separate ourselves for whatever reason. You ever talk to any believers that said, oh, I can pray just fine at home. I don't need to go to church. That's a fig tree in the middle of a vineyard. That's not going to be very fruitful. Being fruitful requires nourishment and nurture. And the more nourishment and more nurture, the more fruitful we become. And when the master comes, he'll find us bearing fruit to his glory. Amen. is not a one-time thing, but it's meant to be continuous. And then the fifth point is that God is a God of next chances. You know, I like to say second chances, but some of us require more than two. I did. If I only had two chances, I would have been doomed. God is a God of next chances. Cut it down. Verse 7, why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year. I'll dig around it and fertilize it. You see that nurture and that nourishment? I'll dig around it and I'll fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. As long as it's nourished and cared for, nurtured and fertilized, it will bear fruit. Although the master had found no fruit for three straight years, he agreed to give another chance of one more year. Hope is not lost, brethren. No matter what we've been through in 2017, no matter what we've suffered, no matter what we've lost, no matter the setbacks that we've had, I'm bringing you a word of hope this morning that God says that I'm going to give you one more year. I'm going to give you another opportunity to set things right with me. I'm going to give you another opportunity to come back to that place you used to be with me. I'm going to give you another opportunity to go back to your first love. Because I remember the time you spent time, quality time with me. I remember the time you sought me. I remember the times we fellowshipped together. Oh, but the cares of this world and the pressure seem to have driven a distance between you and me. Oh, but I'm still there. I haven't changed. I haven't left your side. Come back, my child. I'm giving you another opportunity to come back to the place I called you to be. Some of us have drifted. Some of us used to be in a grove of fig trees where we could be fruitful, where we were cared for. And we've drifted and found ourselves now in the middle of a grapevine, in a vineyard, where we're just all by ourselves, bombarded on every side. And yet we ask, God, why? Where are you? God says, I'm right here where I've always been. It's you who have drifted. But one more year. I'm giving you one more year. The rear view mirror is okay, but it's only useful when you're looking backward. The windshield is much more important to us than the rear view mirror should be. You see, the enemy wants to remind us of our past. He wants to remind us of all the times we've messed up and slipped and fallen and sinned. And every time we devote all our time looking in the rear view mirror, we are missing the opportunity to see what God has placed before us and the hope that we still have in him. Because guess what? Some of us may have given up on him, but he's never given up on us. He has not given up on us. Some of us have turned our backs on him at different points in our lives. But he stood by our side. I like what the scripture says in the story of the prodigal son. After he'd gone through all of that stuff, finally it said when he came to himself. Some of us, by his grace, came to ourselves and found out he was still there with his arms wide open, waiting for us to come back into the fold. God is saying this morning that he still has great plans for us as a church, as families, and as individual children of his. He wants to do great things, not only for us, not only in us, but he wants to do great things through us that will bring blessings to others. Let's stop pitying ourselves. Let's stop focusing on the situational environment in which we find ourselves. Let's stop listening to those loud voices that tend to drown out the still small voice of God's Spirit. You see, if there's too much noise, we usually can't hear the Spirit because he doesn't shout the loudest. No matter what the situation, God is still God. The God of the mountains, the song says, is still God in the valleys. One pastor said he's never changed his address. It's still the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God that we read about in the scriptures is the same God today. He will not change to become more culturally relevant. He will not change to fit our concept of what we think he should be. He's not a God of wood or stone that we can shape into what our mind can comprehend. If you want to serve that kind of God, you have options. But I like a God that can't fit in my pocket or in a corner in my house. I like a God that I cannot even begin to comprehend. Because guess what? If we could understand everything about him, then we will be God. He will not. God is giving us the time. He's giving us what we need from his teaching, from his word, to come back to where we used to be when we first knew him. I don't know about you, but when I first accepted Jesus, I wanted the rapture to happen right away. He wants us to be passionate about him. Don't let anybody, people who've never accepted Jesus and live in the freedom that he gives us, think that serving God and living and walking, living a Christian life is so boring and such drudgery. Nothing could be farther from the truth. In fact, you don't know true freedom until you know Jesus Christ. Because what the world thinks is freedom is slavery to the devil. Amen. What the world thinks is fun is living in slavery to the devil. Jesus gives us freedom, true freedom, to serve him and to worship him. As we're coming to an end, and worship team can come up, as we're coming to an end of another year and coming into a brand new year, I don't know how many of you have made resolutions. Resolutions are not bad. But what's even better, I want to propose to you this morning, is a New Year's revolution. A radical change in our mind, in our thinking, in our approach to God. Renewing our minds. Changing the way we relate to God and to our fellow men. Changing the way we look at stuff around us and focusing on him. Because what does his word say? If we seek him first and his righteousness, all the other stuff, another word came to my mind, but I won't say it. All the other stuff we spend so much time worrying about and concerning ourselves about will be added to us. And not necessarily what we think about, because sometimes he likes us too much to give us all the stuff we want. That in our finite understanding we think are the good things. He knows infinitely better than us. Sometimes he'll refuse to give us the good things to give us the better things. Amen. Let that be our cry. Let that be our prayer as we end this 2017 and enter 2018. Thank you. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. You haven't made him Savior and Lord of your life. Want to give you an opportunity to do so this morning. Please don't leave here. That's the greatest and most important decision you can ever make. Don't leave here. Stop me or one of the leaders after the service and we will be glad to pray with you. Let us pray. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God of next chances. We thank you that, Lord, even where we've been unfaithful, Lord, you've remained faithful and steadfast, Lord. And Father, as we come to the end of 2017, Lord, I just lift up your people before you this morning. Lord, no matter what we've been through this year, Lord, we pray you will just cleanse us of everything that's unlike you in our lives. And Lord, we pray that we will have a revolution of the mind, that our minds may be renewed by your word, that we will come back to our first love, that we will give you that place that you deserve in our lives, Lord. And by doing that, we will walk according to your plan, according to your purpose for our lives, and that we will be fruitful. Lord, I pray this morning for those that are sick in body, Lord. I pray your healing touch upon each and every one of us and our family members who may not be here, Lord. Distance is no hindrance to your touch. So we claim healing this morning from the top of our head to the sole of our feet, Lord. In Jesus' name. Lord, those that may be growing weak and weary this morning, those that may be discouraged, Lord, we pray a touch by your Holy Spirit upon them. Oh, bring hope. Renew our hope and restore our joy, O God. The enemy likes to steal our joy. Restore our joy this morning in Jesus' name. Father, and I just commit our church, our congregation, our leadership, Lord, to you. Oh, you have great things in store for us, Lord. May we fall in line with your plans, with your path, and with your purposes for our body and our lives. And we just thank you again. Give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God is dismissed.